We're going to do Parsha last today because I do want to make sure we get through our chatos. This is our last new shiur for a long time now. We have like a month of no regular shiur. In the week and a half that I'm back, we do have plans for having shiur, but it's just not going to be, right? That's what we agreed upon. We'll just be like running through shailas that come up. I'll try to collect enough of them to keep us sharp, to go through like interesting halachic shailas, and I'll try to keep it to things that are up until Kufzadi Hey. There are a lot of shailas on Kufzadi Vav through Kufzadi Tes, but okay, Nunu. We'll try to see if there's enough chomer to keep us busy for a week and a half on interesting shailas relating to things that we've done. We could at least use as a starting point the shailas that we've asked on the Bechina. Right, so okay. So anyway, so we started Mezigas HaKos. I don't remember. Yeah, we started Mezigas HaKos. So I don't remember how far we got. We discussed the Shinoi. Beis Yosef says Mezigas Mutter when it's not done in his presence, just like beds. We did that. Yeah. We passed the Satmar Rav. Oh, right, Rameir Bransdorfer also. Okay. So what was the last? Is that was Rameir Bransdorfer the last thing we did? What? Yeah. I think so. Okay. Rabbi Forst, right? That was Rabbi Forst quotes from Rabbi Bransdorfer, the Sugub Shan Kurna, that the husband serving the wife is even worse, right? Yeah, that we had three shitos. Is it worse? Is it better? Is it the same? Right? Okay. So now, serving food. That was all that Mezigas HaKos. What about serving food to each other? So the Bach writes, Matsasi Kasuv Bedrashos Maharash Ostreich. It's so interesting that the Bach quotes Drashos. Sounds like it's Drasha Sefer, not even a Halacha Sefer, but I guess people used to Darshan Halacha sometimes also. So in the Drasha's Marash Ostreich, Hilchos Uminhage Marash Sumin Yudches. Oh, I guess there's a section of the Drashos that has Halachos Uminhagim. I did not see it inside, obviously. Only saw the Bach inside. The Bach writes that the Marash Ostreich says as follows, Vizel Shalom. The Shalom Kedin Osin Abale Batin, Shamanichin Noshose and Lisa Karu Sukhiotiben, Allah Shulchan, Mididava, Mezigas HaKos. That the Balabatim who allow their wives to just serve the food normally when they are in Nida are doing something terribly wrong, because that's a violation of Mezigas HaKos. So Mezigas HaKos means you're pouring a kos. What does this have to do with Mezigas HaKos? Remember, we saw yesterday, Mezigas HaKos may only mean that you're mixing and diluting and it may only apply to wine, but now Marash Ostreich says, not only does it not mean just mixing with water, not only is it not just wine, but it's even food. So it's like a chidish al gabi chidish al gabi chidish, right? Mezigah means diluting, but that's what the Marash Ostreich says. Mihu, says the Bach, He says, well, based on what I said before, that if you, in order to violate Mezigas HaKos, you need both Mezigah v'Hoshata, then there's not going to be a problem over here. Although we don't paskin that way, right? We certainly paskin that Hoshata alone is Asur, and therefore you certainly don't need Mezigah and Hoshata in order to violate both. V'chein l'mashe kosef harashba, the Mezigas yayin b'mayim dafka Asur, avol shar mashke mutter. Certainly if you say like the Rashba, that it's only if you dilute it with water, it's a problem. Inami Mezigah b'nakli, k'mosha anu asim shari, hu adin b'kara, ein k'peda. So if you just do a regular pouring of wine, that's not going to be a problem, and certainly it wouldn't be a problem to serve food. V'od nira. Afilu im tim selamar din nesin sakar al shulchan havil k'mezigas HaKos, says the Bach, even if you want to tell me that serving food is like Mezigas HaKos, mikol makom af b'mezigas HaKos ein iser, ela b'kos hamiyuchad l'bayla. Even Mezigas HaKos is only aser when it's a kos specifically for him. And therefore, even if you want to be machmir and serving food, it's only going to be a chumrah, it's only going to be a problem if you serve a plated meal that's meant for him and for him alone. She's bringing a serving platter to the table and it's supposed to go around the whole table. That's not a problem of Mezigas HaKos. Why dafka if it's for him alone? Tika chibat fei. Aval havi akar al shulchan shekol bnei abayi sochlim mena. You bring a serving platter. Enk pei to klal. Afal pi shegam bayi lo ochel im bnei beiso meil sakar. And even if they're going to eat straight out of the car, you're going to bring a bowl of popcorn or french fries, and everyone's going to be munching out of the same bowl, her husband being one of the everybody that's going to be munching out of the same bowl, that, there's no way that that's usher. And he says, and therefore, halacha lemaisa, says the Bach, to bring a plate that everyone's going to eat from, 100% mutter. Aval havi akara miuchedes lebayla, asur lahavi. But she shouldn't bring a plate that's specifically designated just for him. Ukrimach mitan debelio, mashkas sefer truma, ta afpa ushata bavad, kshem bashinu, asur machal nishta. Because remember, we paskin, hoshata is asur, even just being moshit, a kos, or a plate is asur, unless there's a shinoi involved. So some were machmir about serving food, but serving plates are totally permissible. The Taz in Sivkat and Gimel is medayik from the fact that it only says Mezikas Hakos, that it must be that food is mutter, that there's no iser of serving food. The Chachamim Shiaru, says the Taz, She'ein Kiruv Bazeh, that doesn't bring about a sense of closeness. Rak, and this is a key phrase because it comes up a few places in the Simen, Rak Maisa Avdus. Something that you would just as soon have your housekeeper do, and it wouldn't be any different, right? It wouldn't be any. There's nothing at all affectionate about it. It's just a maisa avdus sheish bo tareach. It's just a hassle. Mashenkin, meaning if your wife takes out the garbage from the kitchen, that is not like look at the love she's showing me by taking out my. No, you wish you had someone. First of all, you should do it. But if you had a housekeeper that was doing it, that's just as good, right? That would be better. Adrab would be better. You don't want your wife doing a maisa avdus, but something that's more of a maisa that expresses some level of chiba, that's going to be a problem. But he says that serving food the chachamim assessed as a maisa avdus. Mashen kim zikzakos. And he says, similar to the chiluk that we're going to find by Hatzah Samita, which we'll see that. Hatzah Samita, that's where this also comes up. That's where the primary place where this chiluk comes up. That there are parts of Hatzah Samita that are Maisa Chiba, and parts that are Maisa Avdus. So we'll have to define what that is, Be'ez Hashem, in a few minutes, a little bit later. The Shach in Sivkat Yud Gimel is also Mekel, especially since the Rashba holds that Meziga is only when you pour water into wine. Shach Sivkat Nidalit says she can prepare his plate somewhere else and then put it in front of him against the Bach. So I think typically this is one of those, I mentioned yesterday, this is one of those areas of halacha that when you learn through the sugya, there's really not much reason to be machmir, but the practice is to be much more machmir than the halacha actually requires. I think common practice is that they tell Chasan and Kala is that if she's serving a plated meal for him, she should put it off to the side a little bit, do some sort of shinoi. But we realize this is a chumra al gabi chumra al gabi chumra. I mean, using a shinoi with a left hand or something, or putting it off to the side a little bit, for sure works. That even works for actual mezigas hakos. But to apply mezigas hakos to something that does not involve mixing water and wine, and something that does not involve wine, something that does not involve a drink, that's already a great, great chiddush. But nevertheless, it's an easy thing to be machmir about. So the common practice is to be machmir.
This applies equally, him serving her.
So luchora, it should, did we discuss that yesterday? If it applies equally both, right? The Rashba says it applies equally to the husband, right? We discussed the three shittos, right? The Rashba says it applies, meaning whatever you hold about mezikas hakos, you're going to say over here as well. So I think most assume, like the Rashba says, that it's even when it comes to him and her, because that's always a question. If one Rishon talks about something and nobody else mentions yay or nay, right? No one else says anything in one direction or the other. So what assumption are you supposed to make? Are you supposed to make the assumption that, it's similar to like, let's say the Bavli doesn't talk about an Inyan, but the Yerushalmi does. Do you say, we don't pass on the Yerushalmi? Or do we say the fact that the Bavli didn't mention it means the Bavli is Cholik? Or do you say, no, the Bavli is the ruling authority, and if the Bavli didn't say anything, then we default to Yerushalmi. Right, so maybe I pass on like the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rush or whatever, but if they didn't say anything, and the Rashba did, so we default to the Rashba. So I think the Pashas is if only one Rishon mentions something, that probably we should assume like that Rishon. But again, that just adds another layer of Chumrah. meaning because that makes another assumption. So if you need it to be mekel, there's plenty of room to be mekel serving food in general, and certainly with a husband serving his wife food, there's plenty of room to be mekel. So it's just important to know where this comes from, just in case, you know, if I don't know, lo aleinu, someone has an illness or something, so you don't make a sick person reach over it because you have to put it off to the side or something. You know, there's plenty of room to be mekel. Then there's another harchaka relating to the dining room. There's the last dining room harchaka, and it's a separate harchaka. Shiluach kos shel bracha. It's a separate harchaka. There's a wonderful sefer in Hilchos Nida that's like a very basic sefer of just like what you need to know that was used in chassan classes by many, many chassan teachers for decades, called Ol Aryeh. It was written by Rav Label Katz from Borough Park. He's a big posik in these areas. And it was like the go-to sefer. So in the first, he's a cousin of mine. In the first printing of Ol Aryeh, he accidentally forgot to put this harchaka in. So there's like an entire generation of chassanim that never heard of this harchaka. So I thought that was funny. I mean, not funny, but a little bit. So in the later printings, he put it in. So in Ol Aryeh, forget about Ol Aryeh for a second. Let's go through this harchaka. There is a passage in Maseches Kala, which says that if somebody is shaleach kol shel bracha liisha without her husband's consent, then the person who does that is chayev misa. Pretty harsh, right? Meaning, what does that tell you? That apparently being shaleach a kos is a sign of chiba. Lahavdil, I'm sure we've regrettably have seen television or movies in our life, you know, like to buy that girl a drink or something, right? Compliments of the gentleman over there, right? So if someone does that, you imagine you're in a restaurant with your wife and someone, the waiter brings a drink to your wife and says, compliments of the gentleman over there, and some guy is like, you know, like, that's not okay, right? To be shaleach koshel bracha to an isha that's not your wife, so it's going to be an act of chiba and chayv misa. Rav Chaigon in the Shiltos in Parsha Chremo Shilta Tzadivav says that Rav was visiting Shmuel's house and Shmuel sent a koshel bracha to his wife and she wouldn't accept it, and the Shiltos has two versions why not. Either because she was a nida, and it was an act of chiba, meaning Shmuel sent to Shmuel's own wife, or because a nida doesn't drink from a kosher bracha, like one of those heebie-jeebie nida things, like going to shul and looking at the Sefer Torah and those kinds of things. So two versions. So okay, so here we see the next step, right? At first, it's a sign of, from the Maseches Kala, you see that it's a sign of chiba to send a kosher bracha, then or to send a kos. Then from the She'iltos, it's enough of a sign of chiba, at least according to one version, that a nida, ishto nida shouldn't accept a kos. In the Gemara Maseches Brachos Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, 45 days from now, Amra Bizera Amra Biyavova Armi Lemasi Satana Asara Dvarim Nemru B'Koshal Bracha. There are 10 things that we say about a Koshal Bracha. So Ton Hadach Shtif Chaim. It goes through the whole thing. V'yesh Omrim Af Meshagro B'Matana Lin Shibesa. The Gemara says you should send the Koshal Bracha to your wife. That's like an appropriate thing to do with a Koshal Bracha. So apparently that's a sign of chashivus, at least to send a kosher bracha. So how do we deal with sending with shiluach? Now sending does not mean, keep in mind, it does not mean handing, it does not mean serving. It could mean your wife is at the other end of the room, it could be she's at a different table, you're on two sides of a mechitza, right? At a simcha or something, and you see a drink that's being served on the menu. Let's say you're not into alcohol, but your wife loves this kind of thing, and the Bali Simcha assume that only the men are interested in it, so they put the bar or whatever on the men's side, right? Or the line by the women's side by the bar is so long that your wife is never going to wait on that line. So you get your wife's favorite drink, and you have someone, you know, bring it over to her. Right? Shiluach, you're not handing it to her, you're not serving it to her, someone is bringing it to her, you are mishaleach it to her. So are there any heterim over here? Obviously where this comes where it seems to be most problematic or most troubling, most difficult to get around, is Kiddush wine. Now you make Kiddush and you pour it into kosos and you give one to your wife. So what are the heterim? So once again, the Satmar Rebbe in Tshuvas Divrei Yoel says that it's only derech chiba when your wife is not in the room and you're appointing a special shliach to bring it to her. I mean, counterintuitively. I mean, unlike serving and all those things are only when the person is in the room, right? So he says, shiluach koshel bracha is dafka that you went out of your way when she wasn't there to show that you're thinking about her when she wasn't there and sending a messenger to bring it to her. And that carries with it a certain chiba. But if you want to just like serve it to her with your left hand or something, that's perfectly fine. That's how the Satmar Rebbe suggests. There is something to, psychologically, there's definitely something to that. That a wife knows that when the husband is not there, that he's thinking of her I'll often tell the chassan, if you're in the, running errands or something, you're in the supermarket and there's like your wife's favorite candy bar in the checkout line or something, buy one, unless she's like going to hate you for it because she's trying to lose weight or something. But buy one. Why? Just let her know that you're thinking about her because, when you see something, it reminds you of her and you're thinking about her. When she's not there, it's a certain type of chiba. So that's how the Divrei Yoel understands this. Rav Vosner just suggests, very pashut, you don't have to be mishaleach koshel bracha when you make kiddush. Make kiddush, drink from the kos, and just put it down in front of you. And she can then take it when you put it down in front of you. Or Rav Vosner says, you could pour a bunch of kosos and pass them all around the table, and your wife will take one of them. There was none that was designated specifically for your wife, so that's not called being mishaleach koshel bracha if you pour a whole bunch of kosos and you pass them around the table. In the Prisha, on the bottom of the tour, in Osir Aleph, so the Prisha, get it over here, yeah. Yeah, the Prisha, Loshna Kos Acherim, whom you chada pirush, lafuke echa de kashasa ihu, hahu kasa vishasi ihi basre leslan. But he quotes from the Rashba that if the husband drank from the coast and then the wife, it's not a problem. Umash vasham duhu adin de muteres lishtos gamkein miyad achar baila, vafilu mainlo bene bayis she yishtu gamkein meosu kos, velo osir elim kein miyachid la kos. Does no sin daito Allah. Meaning, if you're making kiddush and you drink from the kos, that's not called shiluach koshel bracha. Shiluach koshel bracha is you get a drink for her. This is a drink that you got for yourself, and she's just drinking the leftovers of. Meaning, he says, by definition, when it's shiurei kos shalom, which she's allowed to do, she's allowed to drink his shiurei kos, that's not going to be included in shiluach kos. Bishlach kos means you make a kos specifically for her that you send to her. However, in Sifur Gimel Shulchan Aruch writes, "Avlum shosim he me osa kos v'shasi ihi abesrayu leslan ba," which strongly implies that the shluchim need to drink from the kos. That it's not enough that the husband drank from the kos. Right. So if your wife is not sitting right next to you and you have a kos shel bracha, you could drink. You have a kiddush kos. You could drink from it and then pass it around the table the other way, and everyone takes it. Everyone's just going to drink out of it. So if everyone takes some from it, or maybe they pour it into their own cup, if everyone takes something from it, so then it would not be a problem. But that's what the Shulchan Aruch implies. So it sounds against the Prisha. The Prisha says, even if you're just the one that drank from it, it's perfectly fine because it's not miyuchad la. Whereas the Shulchan Aruch sounds like, no, if it's your kos that you're now giving up to her, that is certainly shiluach kos shel bracha. You need someone else to drink from it in between.
Would it help at all if the kos shel bracha wasn't really the husband's kos, but just the pouring, like just like a cake? The husband himself won't even drink from the cup of the pouring.
Yeah, so the problem with that is that that's a good idea. I mean, that in midin hilchos nida, that's a good idea. Midin kos shel bracha, it's not a great idea. Meaning the husband really should drink from the kos that he said the bracha on.
Was Rebbe's example of the wedding is it only by a kos shel bracha? And is it only by wine?
It's not only kos shel bracha, it's only wine, but it's not a shiluach kos shel yayin, that's what we assume. So it is only wine, but it's not only koshel bracha. So yeah, the example of the wedding was dafka, right? Which it's somewhat counterintuitive. Like a lot of people wouldn't realize that. Meaning you would think, oh, I'm just trying to be careful not to pass things to my wife if she's in nida. So you're at a wedding and you send someone to just bring this to You know, you tell one of your kids, bring this to mommy. That's not okay if it's a kos shel yayin, right? Okay. Now we move on to, yeah.
Is yayin going to have the same, a different din than all of the other alcoholic drinks, or there's going
to
be
a... It seems that it's just a din in yayin, even though misvara, you would think it would apply to other alcoholic beverages. But I don't know, I didn't see it. Anyone see anything about other alcoholic beverages? Don't come across anything? I didn't see anything.
Even though the svara behind, like, sending it to her, that would apply to...
You would think it would apply to other alcoholic beverages also.
Like, I mean, why can't...
Oh, even a piece of cake, you're saying?
If it's about chiba that you're thinking of her outside of it, you're sending her something. And
right. Yeah.
It's just like
wine has certain chashivas to it. Although, you know, 24-year-old scotch also has a certain chashivas to it. That someone argues more chashiv than wine. Okay, but that's what it is. Okay, bedroom harchakos. So when it comes to the bedroom, so the Gemara tells us the Shabbos Daf Yud Gimel. Ibailu nida mar shatishan imbailu hibe bigdav v'hu be bigdav. Can a nida and her husband both sleep in the same bed as long as they're both clothed? So Rav Yosef Tashma ha'of ole magvina la shulchan. He says, I'll bring you a raya from kashrus. You can have chicken served on the same table with cheese. Veinu nechal divrei Beishamei. You just can't be eaten together according to Beishamei. Beisil amrim lo ole v'lo nechal. You can't even have it at the same table. So says Gemara, don't you see? Don't you see what? Right? So apparently, don't you see that it's us? It's lo ole. You can't even have the same table. So don't put the husband and wife in the same bed. Says Gemara, no, shiny hasam de lakadeos. Maybe that's not such a great raya because the cheese is not going to remind the meat, you know, not to be eaten. But when you have the husband and wife, one of them will remind the other, you know, nida. The Gemara goes on to say, you know, with the tells the whole ton of the Beil Yahu, right? And at the end of that story, where she says that, you know, achalimi shasimi yashanimi bekiruv basar va'amarti la baruch hamakom shahargo shalom nasa parum latora shariyam ratora velish binyas tumasala tikrav. And then the Gemara goes on to say, ki asar avdimi amar mita chada havai. Apparently, Rav Dimi thought that the same bed is not such a problem, and Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef thought just having some clothing in between them is enough. So you have this machlokas exactly what's what over here. What do you need as far as separation of beds? Tosos over there in Shabbos Yud Gimel, Mita Chada Avai. So Tosos says, If the mita chada avayu, and therefore was a problem to have one bed, so Tosfos says, well, wait a second. Upalti ben Laish shenaatz cheref beino leveina. What about the story of Palti ben Laish? Right? What was the story of Palti ben Laish? You know, much navi, right? A little bit. Right? He was under the Shaul was under the impression that he was the rightful husband of Michal. David was under the impression that he was the rightful husband of Michal and not Palti ben Laish. And Palti ben Laish himself was Machmir for Shitas David HaMelech, right? That this was not his wife. So he was not Atzcherev Beino Leveina. He put a sword in between their beds. So Ikalamemar Sharachuk Mena Haya Be Yosef Vahaya Pasuach L'Rashasra Mishalim Shum Yichud. He says, they were in the same bed. How is the sword good enough? It must be that it was a gigantic bed. And the door was open. So it was a very unintimate setting. Oh, Shema Savar Kishal Shalaisim Kadesh David Machmer Alatzma Haya Milavala. Or maybe he really passed like Shaul, that he was married to her, which makes it all the more impressive, right? That he really passed Meir Adin like Shaul, he was just Machmer for Shitas David Amelach. So as a Chumrah, he decided not to sleep with her. Wow, that's a Tosfos. So, bottom line is, it can't be in the same bed. Okay, so how much of a separate bed? So there's a Chuvas Tashbetz, Sheilinun Ches, that Mita Achas is the Isser. But the Tashbetz says, even Mita Achas is only, and Tulsa sort of alludes to this, is only if the bed was only made for one person. But if it's a bed that was meant for two people, says the Tashbetz, then it's not, may not be a problem. Unclear to me whether, well, certainly we don't pass on this tashbetz, but even unclear to me whether this tashbetz would apply to a king-size bed, is my name. Because king size bed is obviously made for two people, right? I think when a couple goes to a hotel, they assume, unless you ask otherwise, they assume that a king size bed is what you're interested in having. So king size bed, you know, for one person, they've got a queen size bed maybe or something like that. King size bed is typically made for two people. But nevertheless, it's highly unusual for any two people to share it other than a husband and wife. I mean, what the Tashmis may have been talking about is a bed that was large enough to be made for two people and is therefore not inherently intimate. But something that's inherently intimate, because it's not meant to be used by anybody other than husband and wife, it could be even the Tashbis would be machmir. You've got to look at the Lashon. Sheva Nunches in the Tashbis.
But where is it?
In the Tashbis. Shuva Satashbis. Nunches, 58. The Mordechai in Shabbos, over there in the first paragraph, Reish Lamed Ches, Mordechai says that even if there are two separate beds, it needs something to be mafsik between the beds. So it sounds really, from the simple reading of the Mordechai, that just like pulling the beds apart from each other, sounds from the Mordechai, is not enough. It sounds like you actually need to put something in between the beds, which would explain the insistence of the Satmar Rebbe, for example, according to the official biography of the... I don't know if it's the official biography. I read a biography of the Satmar Rebbe. There are a few. It's called The Rebbe, which incidentally is the same title of the biography of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, which incidentally is the same title of the biography of the Kleisenberger Rebbe. Everyone thinks that their Rebbe is the Rebbe. So in the book The Rebbe, it says that the Satmar Rebbe insisted that all Satmar couples have a nightstand between their beds, and the Satmar Rebbe was a micromanager. He was someone who, like... You read the book, you'll get it. Like, he personally examined all of the stockings that came out of the stocking factory that was owned by a Satmar Chassid to make sure that they were bulletproof enough to be worn by, meaning like personally examined, like held up to the light and whatever. Like the Satmar Rebbe, it says in the book, he used to do random surprise home inspections. He would knock on people's doors and ask to be walked into the bedroom to look and make sure that there was a nightstand between the beds. So that's...
While they weren't needed also?
Yeah, he thought it was just Derech HaTzni, it doesn't necessarily be that way. Now, it's required while needed, that's what he held. I remember I asked Rav Schechter how far apart, when I first got married, I asked Rav Schechter how far apart the beds have to be, because we'll see soon, there's a major Indian discussion, how far apart do the beds have to be when it's Ishtar Nida. So he said... Also, I was surprised. He always says something surprising. So he said, I thought all from couples have a nightstand between their beds. All from couples? And I'm like, that's quite...
How big is a nightstand?
What?
How big is a nightstand?
I don't know. It's like a set of drawers or something. Yeah,
it's two arms length of, wide? Like
this. Well, however long it is. But the point, it's not about the shear. It's about, meaning he wasn't saying about the shear. He said that he thought that was just the practice. So, like, immediately in my mind, I'm thinking, like, Ernie and Bert, they had it. I don't know of many others, but, you know, I'm not the Satmar Rebbe. I don't go to everyone's bedrooms to inspect. But it sounds from the Pashtus of the Mordechai, at least. It sounds that that's what it should be. Although, the way the Post can quote the Mordechai, they're not goreis that. Meaning, they're really, the part that they're paying attention to is that the beds need to be separated from each other, not that there needs to be something else in between. It's unclear whether the concern is that it will look like one bed when the two are right up against each other, or that it will lead to tashmish. It could be, that could be chapa nafkamina in terms of how far apart they have to be. Is it to the eye that when you're looking at it, it looks like it's one bed, then even a hefresh kol shehu would be enough, which the Pesachei Teshuva quotes, that you just need a hefresh kol shehu, you just need some space between them, you just need some daylight in between them. But if it's a concern that it's going to be Yavel Tashmish, that it's going to lead to Tashmish, then if you could just roll over from one to the other in the middle of the night, you could find yourself in the other person's bed. So then you have that same Chashash of Tashmish. It would have to be far enough apart that if you were to roll over, you'd fall. Right? There's Chaps and Afkamina sometimes when a couple has a little baby. right? So the baby is in mommy's bed all night because it was crying and she was feeding or whatever, so the baby ends up in mommy's bed. They don't want to keep the bed so far apart that if you roll over, you fall, because they don't want the baby to fall in between. So is a hefresh kol shehu enough? So Pesach Teshuvah says hefresh kol shehu is enough. That is enough of a separation. The Ramah writes in Sivvav, even if each one has their own mattress, even on two separate beds, and they're touching each other, and Pesach Teshuvah says, yeah, hefresh kol shehu is all you need. So Kava Yashar in Perek Yud Zayin tells a Maisa that a man had a dream that his feet were like covered in excrement or something, and he asked the Arizal what it meant, and the Arizal said, your bed is too close to your wife's bed, and you must be touching her blanket during the night, and he moved his bed a little further so he wouldn't touch a blanket during the night anymore, and the next night his feet were perfectly clean, they were no longer full of excrement. What do we get out of that, Kafa Yasha? So what apparently we get out of it is that there's some sort of Indian of not to touch even the bedding, meaning not just not to have the beds touch each other, but that the blankets shouldn't. Meaning, so Pesach Teshuvah writes Hefresh Kol Shehu, but there are different madrigos of how much further you'd want to go than that, right? Of how much more machmir you'd want to be. So Me'ikar Adin, they just can't be no-go zubazu, right? That's what the Ramah says. You need a Hefresh Kol Shehu. But it's a worthwhile chumrah that even the bedding shouldn't be nogos zubazu, that the covers or whatever shouldn't be touching each other. Also worthwhile chumrah that you can't roll over from one to the other, because if you're chashash, if you think that it's chashash that they'll come to tashmish, so being able to roll over from one to the other could be an issue. Now, the reason it's important to clarify what's a chumrah and what's me'ikar adin, the Taras Yisrael is quoted by someone, I think maybe Rabbi Forst, so on one of the Achronim, that they have to be part enough that you won't come to touch each other, which means that you won't come to touch your wife, which means that it has to be an arm's length away, right? Not far enough that two arms length, that if you both reach out at the same time, because that's unlikely in the middle of the night, to both reach out mamish at the same time toward each other, but that's it would be an arm's length away. So that's another geder as far as how far apart. And the reason it's important to know what's me'ikra din and what's a geder, why not just say, okay, just separate them a little bit further, who cares? So sometimes your bedroom's not that big. I remember when we first got married, we had an apartment in Queens, and the Queens master bedrooms were smaller than the Washington Heights master, if I recall correctly. Everything else about the Queens apartments was better, but if I recall correctly as well. But the Queens, the master bedrooms were not particularly big, and we got these giant mattresses because, hey, why not? You know, like, they were comfortable and whatever. So when you put them in the room, there wasn't that much space to separate them. So a lot of times a couple, you know, in the first apartment don't have that much space to separate them. So then you have to know what the din is. The din is hefresh kol shehu. If they move to a house that has more space, good. So then you should try to be machmir. Also, if there's a baby and you're afraid of the baby falling through, so the ikra din is hefresh kol shehu. What about a bunk bed? So why would that ever come up? Believe it or not, I've gotten the shayla more than once about a bunk bed. The couple is staying at someone's house, and they don't have, and all of the kids are in from out of town for the father's 70th birthday. So Lemaisa, the parents have the bedrooms exactly the way the couple left them 25, you know, exactly the way the children left them 25 years ago when they move out. So everyone's sleeping in their own rooms. That's where you are with your wife. So is a bunk bed okay? So Pesach Teshuvah and Sifkat Niral of quotes a Makar Chayim that Dafka im Ragle Hamitos Nogim Zubazu Aser Daaz Shochei VeIsh VeIsh Panim Kneged Panim VeYichalim LeStakel Zubazu. That the Isser is only if they're both aligned directly across from each other and they can look at each other, you know, eye to eye. VeYachal Lovel DeHergel Davar, because that is something that could lead to bad things. Masha'enkein Imrosh Hamita Noga'as Piragle Chaverta. What if the two beds are touching each other, but it's, you know, a long, you know, they're arranged, you know, the long way instead of side by side, right? So says the Pesach Teshuvah, V'kolishkein rosh hamita b'rosh chaveret. And certainly if it's head of the bed to head of the bed, shein yichol liros zeh panim shalzu, where no one could see each other, because each one would have to, like, you know, so you can't really see each other, mutter. El demikol makom olam nogim kistimas loshen ramad, v'chol yin shnogim zeh b'zeh asur. But nevertheless, we're in, you know, we try to be machmir for the Ramad that as long as they're touching, it's asir. Rabbi Forst is machmir among beds, but the Ashulchan is not assured that you have to be machmir among beds. I mean, there's nothing romantic about a bunk bed. So the Badei Ashulchan is not as certain that we should be machmir about a bunk bed, but Rabbi Forst is machmir about a bunk bed. L'chor, there's makum lahakel. The Gemara in Erevin in Samach Gimel tells us that Amar Brona Amarav, Kalayashin Bekila, we read this Gemara already. Kalayashin Bekila She Ishvi Ishto Shriyim Ba. If you sleep in a Kila that a husband and wife are in, Alava Kasvomer Nishayami Tigarshin Mibes Tanugeha. From Rav Yosef, Afil Bishto Nida. Rava Amar Mishto Nida, He Tavol of Bracha. What would be the problem joining a room where a husband is with Ishto Nida? Adrabi, you're going to save them from Isurim. Velohi, he says the Gemara, Da'ali idna manatre, sugaba shoshanim, we trust a husband and wife, and she's a nida, they should be able to share a room without a third party there, so it's not a good thing to join the room. So Rashi over there writes that a killa means the same room, but in the Tshuva Smaram al-Shikr, Simon Sadi Aleph, he says it means the same canopy. So they're allowed to sleep under the same canopy. And that's what the way Poskim quoted, that if there's a canopy bed, but there are two mattresses underneath it, there are two beds underneath it, and you're able to separate them, even though it's under the same, you know, canopy, that would be mutter. I think that's not so common. The most common question is a headboard, a shared headboard. Right? That's the question you normally get before a chassan and kala get married. They're doing the shopping, and the chassan is waiting for something that he cares about, and finally he sees that they're talking about headboards, and he's like, "Oh, I care about this!" So he gets all excited, and he wants to know, are they allowed to share a headboard? So sharing a luchora, what do you think? Sharing a headboard?
A wall behind their beds?
Right. You're obviously allowed to share. Not only you're allowed to share a wall. Right? What do we see in Shulchan Aruch over here? That if it's mechubar to the kosel, that makes it better, right? No? Am I making that up?
Well, that's in terms of a bench and...
By the safsal. Okay, but that comes up in this context. Where is it? That if the beds are attached to the wall, that's mutter. Okay, so we're not going to say that, but is there a problem inherently with a headboard? Meaning, mutter that they'd even be touching each other. So, okay, we're not going to allow the beds to touch each other. But is the fact that they're touching the same headboard a problem? Pashtus is it should not be a problem. Nevertheless, a lot of the contemporary achronim say, don't attach it to the headboard. Just place the headboard behind the bed, and then it's like sort of removed. Then you can't consider it mita achas al yidei the headboard. Meaning, if each bed is attached to the headboard, then one might say that it's considered like one big bed because they're both attached to the same headboard. Okay, so it's a nice chumrah to accept not to attach the beds to the headboard. Meikar adin, is it a problem? Probably not.
Why is the case of bunk beds not a problem?
If you actually feel each other's movements. I don't know. I don't think I ever slept in it. I guess in camp I must have slept in the bunk bed.
Bunk beds, anytime someone moves.
You feel it?
Yeah.
I guess it is a problem. Yeah. I guess it would be a problem. Soft slum standard. Yeah. Okay. That's okay. Next issue as far as bedrooms. Two more issues as far as bedrooms are concerned. Access to her bed, or her to have access to his bed. So the Ravid and Balei Nefesh, Sharaprisha, Gimel Beis, quotes from Rav Haigon, that we're machmir to treat dam, and we did this already, that we're machmir to treat dam besulim like dam nida. What does that have to do with anything? Hang in there for a second. That we're machmir to treat dam besulim just like dam nida, but we're not metame what she's lying on at the time of the be'ila, because it's only a suffik nida. Meaning, there's no tumas mishkav v'moshav on the bed, For dam besulim, because dam besulim isn't really dam nida, it's just a chumrah to treat it like dam nida, and therefore there's no tumas mishkav and moshav on the bed. So what's the obvious kash on Rav Haigon? The Ravid says, there's no Tumas Mishkav Moshav anywhere ever anymore. We're not knowing Tumen Tara. What are you talking about? So the Ravid interprets it to mean that it's usher to lie on her bed when she's in Nida, even when she's not in the bed. And Rav Haigon was speaking, in Melitzos, calling it Tumas Mishkav Moshav. It's not Tumas Mishkav Moshav. He's referring to a harchaka, that you shouldn't be lying in the bed that Anida, that's Anida's bed. But we can be make a Lishkov al Mitasa when it's just Dan Besulim. That if the only thing made a tummy is Dan Besulim, then he's allowed to be Shochev al Mitasa. That's how the Ravid interprets Rav Haigon. The alternate way to understand Rav Haigon is based on the way the Rif says in Simon Reish Sadi Zayin that people who would observe Hilchos of Tumentara as a Zecher to the way that they used to behave. So there actually was some remnant, maybe, in the times of the Gaonim of Hilchos Tumentara, Mitaras Minag. So maybe that's what, probably more likely, what Rav Haigon was referring to. But anyway, this is how the Ravid interprets it. The Rashba in Taras Abayis Zayin Beis quotes the Ravid, and he says that it's a Kal V'chomer from Atzah Asamita. He says if a woman's not even allowed to make her husband's bed, then Kal V'chomer, he can't be in her bed. Being in her bed is going to be many more hirhurim than watching her make the bed. And the Ramban in Hilchas Nida Ches Zayin also says cannot sleep in her bed. So the Torah writes. So far, what do we have? We have no Gemara that really says you're not allowed to sleep in her bed when she's not there. Yashan imi b'kiruv basar meant that they were mamish in the same bed, right? We have no Gemara that said this. We have Rishonim that are interpreting Gaonim as maybe having suggested that he's not allowed to lie down in her bed. Comes along the tour and he takes it one step further. V'lo yeshev b'mita miyuchedes la, says the tour. Not only can he lie down in her bed, he's not even allowed to sit in her bed. Afilu shalom b'fneha. Ve'in sarich lomar shalom yishan ima b'mita. And obviously, therefore, you can't sleep together in the same bed. Afilu kalachar v'achar b'gdov ve'in ogum z'abzeh. Even if everyone's wearing clothing, everyone's wearing pajamas, and they're not touching each other. The Bach does not understand where in the world the Torah got this from. He invented an iser. There's no sort of yeshev b'mita. So the Bach says it must be a typo. It should be v'lo yishkav b'mita or lo yishan b'mita. It's a one letter difference, right? It's either missing a chaf or instead of yeshev yashan, something like that. And the truth is the lashon of the Torah really suggests that it's a typo, right? Because what does the Torah say? That they're not allowed to do this, and ain't sarich lomar that they're not allowed to do, and you would imagine the next step over, right? So what's the ain't sarich lomar? That they're not allowed to be sleeping in the same bed at the same time. I don't know, if he's not allowed to sit in her bed, I would have said, Vein Sarach Lomar, he can't lie in her bed or sleep in her bed, right? He immediately jumps to sleeping in the same bed at the same time. So the Bach thinks that the whole thing is a typo. The Shach and Siv Katan Yud, yeah, the Shach, V'abach Cholik, T'davka Lishkov Sham V'lishon, Kishaposhet begadav huda aser. Aval yeshiva bialma kshu lavosh begadav. Ein bo isra afilu bepenuya. He says, sitting on a bed when he's clothed? No isra. That's all the Shach quotes. He quotes the Bach seemingly approvingly. Right? The Shach seems to assume that that's the halacha. But comes along the Taz and Sivkat and Vav, and he disagrees with his father-in-law. And he says that sitting also causes hirhur. And then says that it's even worse if she lies down on his bed when he's there, is that will cause lots of hirhur. Meaning if he sees her lying on his bed, then that will cause lots and lots of hirhur. If we're going to be machmir, which it seems that most are machmir for Shitas Hataz, that the most of the contemporary achronim, that the husband should view his wife's bed as off limits to him, we will not view this as a two-way harchaka, meaning his wife's bed is off limits to him, his bed is not totally off limits to her. We are machmir for what the Taz says, that for her to be lying down in the bed when the husband's in the room, that will be ma'orer hear her, and that's a problem, but anything short of that would be mutter. Meaning if she's going to lie down in the bed when he's no longer in the room, or she's going to sit on his bed when he is in the room, that would all be mutter. So the way I always say it to Chassanim is that, you know, again, the case, baby in the bed all night, and your wife hasn't slept because when the baby finally fell asleep, he managed to fall asleep right in the center of the bed, right? So there's nowhere that she could possibly, she's like crawled up in one corner of the bed all night and afraid of moving. She doesn't want to wake the baby or, God forbid, crush the baby or anything. So she hasn't slept all night, and you wake up at 4:30 a.m. because you go and learn in Kol Ol Boker for 2.5 hours before Shacharis. Kamuvan. So now she looks at the clock. It's 4:30. She figures, I got three, four hours of solid sleep ahead of me, as long as I can keep the baby out cold, right? So as soon as you leave the room, she could hop over to your bed, right? Because as long as it's not the fun of, she should wait till you leave the room, but as soon as you leave the room, she could hop over to your bed. So if you need more motivation to wake up early to go learn, could be doing a great chesed for your wife. So we are machmir. The Pesachei Teshuvah and Sivkan Tes has a kula over here. It's unclear what the kula is, though. Pesachei Teshuvah writes, "V'nir pashut d'im'ena bi'ir klal mutter." That if she's not in the city at all, then it's mutter. What's mutter exactly if she's not in the city? So what's he going on? What words in the Shulchan Aruch is he going on? Where is it? This is Siv Katan Tess. All these letters here are confusing me. Afilu Shaloba, where is that? Oh yeah, this is in Siv Hey. Lo Yeshev Bimitam Yuchadas Afilu Shaloba Fanaha. Right, not to sit on her bed when she's not there. And on that, the Pesachei Teshuvah says, on his own, that if she's out of town, it's mutter. What's mutter? So Pashut, what he's going on is sitting on her bed. What about lying on her bed? What about sleeping on her bed? So the Achronim aren't sure. They're not sure what the Pesachei Teshuvah, how broadly the Pesachei Teshuvah intends to be makel over here. Is it just for sitting on her bed or even sleeping? So Rabbi Force quotes a Machlokes Achronim about this. Rabbi Force is Machmir. Shevet Alevi just adds that you know, you have to realize when the Pesachei Teshuvah says im eina be'ir klal, right, she's not in the city at all, that does not mean that you live in Queens and she's in Manhattan. Right? Eina bi'ir klal means she's like really at some distance where it would, she's not coming home tonight, where it would take some time for her to return. So that's l'chorua. She's on a business trip, she's at a chasana, out of town or something. Now the trick over here is how do we define what is called a mitam yuchedes la? How do we define what's called her bed? Chazan Kala once asked me, can they switch beds every night or every week? Those trade beds. So that way they'll never have a mitam yuchedes la. So again, I think I mentioned this. Yeah, I couldn't like wrap my mind around the total lack of seder in their lives. I was like, I'll be Muslim, you just shouldn't do that. you need certain seder in your life. But so how do we define it? So Rabbi Forrest is very machmir about this. He thinks that once she's, you're at a hotel for one night or for two nights or whatever. So you picked one bed, she picked the other bed. Rabbi Forrest said, yeah, she slept in it once, it's hers. Now, if no one slept in it, yeah, you just showed up in the hotel room and you put your bag down on your bed and she put her bag down on the other bed, and then she says, no, I'd rather, you know, be on the other side of the room. So that, he says, okay, that's not yet miyuchedes la. But once she slept in it, once, she chose that as her bed, then it's miyuchedes la. I had a shayla, I think, I don't remember if I shared this with you, a couple that shared a queen bed when she's tahora. The couple has two beds in the room. They have a queen bed and a twin. And when she's tahora, they both sleep in the queen bed. When she's tamea, he jumps over to the twin. So is the queen bed a mitah miyuchedes la? Leaving aside the weirdness of it, right? Is the queen bed a mitah miyuchedes la?
Shiva Levy has that same.
Does he?
He uses lashon b'makom acher, that when she's b'mei tumasa, that he sleeps b'makom acher.
Yeah,
he
I want to
it's
see.
A problem because of Maris Ayin.
Because of Maris Ayin.
So the Sefer of coming in.
Yeah. No, Maris Ayin feels b'chedrei chadarim. There's not b'chedrei chadarim.
I was talking with Yoni. That's Dura Banu.
Right. Okay. So you got to learn some Pei Zayin of Chalosh Kedem. Okay. This is a too long dish for this topic.
Well, the ma'aseh makom acher doesn't mean in the same room. Like if you had the same, if you had.
Yeah, yeah. There are people that are knowing this way. There's svarim that are knowing this way. I was going to say that he moves to a different room, but it's not how it works. It's different culture. So they tell you, Rav Goldbach said that he was. Rav Goldbach said that he was a scholar in residence at a Sephardi community, and he stayed at a big fancy house that they put him up at, and the couple moved out of their master bedroom so that Rav Goldbach could have the nicest room in the house. So Rav Goldbach said it was strange. They're not gonna, can't deny that. But any time an Ashkenazi thinks that we've got Kavod HaRav down, he looked at the Sephardim and it's like, in a million years we wouldn't dream of it, right? A totally different Madrega in terms of Kavod HaRav. So how do we define it in that case? So really what it depends on is where's the emphasis? Is it Mita HaMiyuchedes La? That it has to be Dafka, that it is only hers and nobody else's? Or is it the bed that he associates with her? Right? Meaning in this case, it is certainly the bed he associates with her. Because Adraba, he only sleeps in this bed when she is Tahora, when he could be with her. But it's not Miuchedes in the sense that he's allowed to sleep there also when she is Tahora. I thought that it is a problem. Meaning I thought Dafka, that should be even worse. He Dafka goes into that bed only when she's Tahora. More than that, the Chachmas Adam in Klal Kuf Tazayin seems to say, and Pesachei Tshuva quotes this in Sifkat and Ches, Duhu Adin al Karim Miuchadim La Asir. It's not only beds. He shouldn't use her pillow, her blanket. All of that is Asir. So the Achronim writes, that's if the blankets are not totally interchangeable. Meaning something, let's say you were to throw all the blankets off the bed, or the pillows are, you're making the bed, so when I make the beds in the room, I throw all the pillows off of the bed, off of both beds, and then I lay out the blankets, right? ABCs of making a bed. And then when I pick up the pillows, I put them back. But I don't know whose pillow I'm putting back where. They look exactly the same. So the post can say, that's fine. That's not called miyuchadla, because it doesn't seem like hers at all. They're totally interchangeable. Badei HaShulchan is Mekla, that Sivkat and Pei Beis. Then finally, last bedroom, Harchaka, making the bed. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to make the bed. So Shulchan Aruch quotes this in Sefer Aleph, that she's not allowed to make the bed. Asur lahatziya mitaso befanav, v'davka prisa sadinim, v'mechaso shu derech chiba, avalatzas hakarim v'aksaso shu tarech, v'enu derech chiba shari. The Balei Tosfos make this chiluk that if it's something that's derech chiba, it's going to be asur, but that which is purely a tareach is mutter. And shalom b'fan of everything is mutter. Right? If he's not in the room, she can make the bed. If she's not in the room, he can make the bed. That's all fine. Question is, how do we define which part of making a bed is derech chiba and which part is not derech chiba? So Shulchan Aruch sort of defines it. What's prisa sadinim? Spreading out the sheet, right? Spreading out the blankets, probably mechasa, the blankets, which is what we call making a bed. What does he say? Is not hatsa'as hakarim vaksasos. What's that? Moving the mattresses? Something like that? Okay, that's a tircha. It's heavy, it's unwieldy, right? Something like that is a tircha. If you read the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch, it's a pretty big chumrah, right? It would mean that she's absolutely not allowed to. Typically, making a bed would be a real problem. Again, provided that he's in the room. It's not such a problem. He could just leave the room. Rabbi Forst is magdirid along those lines. He says, whatever is done to prepare the bed, and this is the way the post can call it, whatever is done to prepare the bed for sleeping. You don't want to get into a messy bed. You want to get into a bed that's neat. So that would be asur. But if it's not done every day, and therefore you see that it's not something that needs prepares the bed for sleeping, such as changing the sheets. So you don't change the sheets every day. So that she could do. She could change the sheets because that doesn't prepare the bed for sleeping, since you sleep in the bed without changing the sheets all the time. So that's how Rabbi Forst is minded here. Anything that you don't go to sleep until that happens on a daily basis, is going to be usher. Anything you go to sleep without it happening, like changing the sheets, is going to be mutter. Rabbi Sabalevsky seems to define it as also. He says, Rabbi Sabalevsky, he does this a lot in the Sefer. He doesn't get into details, and he just like paints two extremes, and he leaves the middle for your interpretation. Right? So what does he say? To move the mattresses is mutter. Okay, I probably would have figured that. To make the bed more comfortable is usher. Fluffing the pillows and just like making it more cushy or whatever. And what about everything in between? So he doesn't discuss. I always thought that to tidy up is avdus. Meaning when you're making the room neat and you're not even, let's say no one's sleeping in that bed tonight. You're going on a trip for a week, right? Do you make the bed? Yeah, you still make the bed before you leave because you want the house to look nice. I don't know, it's unsettling when a house doesn't look nice. That's cleaning up. What would be the issue? Let's say there's something you put on the bed dafka right before you go to sleep that's not normally on the bed. Like let's say there's like a bedspread over the covers. So you turn down the, right? I mean, they have like in hotels, turn down service. Anyone ever experienced this? No. They'll come in case you couldn't do it yourself, that the housekeeper will come in twice. They'll come in the morning to make the bed, make it look nice. And then they'll come in at like 8 o'clock when you're out to dinner or whatever, and they'll pull out the cover and open it up for you in a perfect triangle so that no one's ever like, okay, yeah, yeah. Fancy hotels, okay, this is what they do. I mean, it's not like at the Holiday Inn, but like fancy hotels is what they'll do for you. So I thought that's what it means preparing the bed for sleeping. Like to do turn down service or to, you know, to do it, to prepare the bed so that you can slide in there under the cover. That would be, so I think there's probably room to be makel on that, but the truth is there's no need to be makel on that because each of you can just make the bed when the other person's not there, right? Unless you're, I guess, in a one room, you know, studio apartment or something and there's just nowhere else to go, so then I guess you'd be looking for a kula. But otherwise, just like don't be in the room or tell her, don't worry, I got it. You know, go somewhere else. I'll be happy to make the bed, and that lechora would be fine. Okay, that is all I got for harchakos. Any questions before we? Yeah.
This is just a suggestion. I'm just wondering, in terms of what Rabbi said in the number of shefta about that, he just had this assumption that you have
a right. Then,
I wonder whether also it could be serious or something different. I wonder whether maybe used to be the idea that the parents' room is named separate, the kids aren't necessarily going into their own suite. Whereas, like, you know, I used to have apartments like that where, you know that the parents' room is named separate, the kids aren't.
Ah, so
the kids don't know what's going on in the parents' bedroom.
But if the only bathroom in the house is off of the parents' bedroom or whatever, right, yeah, okay, I hear it. That could be the Metzius change. Yeah.
Isn't changing the sheets like the second you take off the sheets? So now you're making the bed, like when you're changing the sheets, you take off the sheets. So now you wouldn't sleep in that bed without sheets on it. So now
yeah, but still, I think the post-comer make it about changing the sheets. I think they still make it about that. Okay.